Good evening, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters because things are changing on the planet, and we're working toward a conscious evolution to a much higher state of being for humanity. And my paradigm shifter for tonight is a very special woman named Dr. Rita. Welcome, Dr. Rita.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
I'm just great, thanks. I'm looking forward to talking to you. Dr. Rita has her own school on intuitive. She's an intuitive energy. She's an intuitive who knows a lot about subtle energy. She has her own radio show. She's got lots of, I've got a whole bunch of papers here on various things that you do that are just amazing. So let's talk about your, I would like you to talk about subtle energy, and I'd like you to talk about what your courses are like, and, you know, what can people do? What's your goal? Who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Well, you know, my new motto is, I just surrender to spirit.
Right on.
You know, it was interesting. I was interviewed by this magazine, and they sent me a list of questions, and one of the questions was, what do you have planned for the next few years? And my response was, well, spirit really hasn't filled me in on that yet, so when they tell me, I'll let you know.
So I see that you bow to surrender.
Yes, ma'am. You know, one of the things that I have learned, which ended up being the name of my book, is I have definite experience in that cosmic 2x4. And, you know, when you get whacked up the side of the head just enough times, you sometimes get the lesson.
So how did you wake up? Was it a series of whacks over the head with the 2x4? How did you evolve your awareness of both your intuitive self and your energy work?
Well, you know, I when I was a kid, I always wanted to be psychic. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be psychic. I, you know, was fascinated with the Amazing Kreskin, and decided that's what I wanted to do. And I started reading metaphysical books when I was like 12.
Oh, wonderful.
And just went down this path and studied, read. And one of the things that I figured out much later in life was that it's all about the experience, and it's not about how much you know. And they don't tell you that in the books. They just, you know, tell you, well, one day you'll be enlightened, and then you'll have psychic abilities. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm waiting. And I, after a long period of time, found the Berkeley Psychic Institute and studied with them. And after being in the program for 3 weeks, a whole 3 weeks, I had this experience, and I'm not going to tell that story, but what I found, figured out was what they wanted me to do, which was having an intuitive experience, was what I had been doing my whole entire life, but no one actually said, you know, when you know what you're getting for Christmas is an intuitive experience. I was like, oh. You mean like regular people don't do that? Regular people don't see past lives?
Do you see your past lives really easily?
I mean, not necessarily my own, but other people's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you already as a child?
As a teenager, they started coming through loud and clear.
Hmm.
You know, I would talk to somebody and, you know, I would go, you know, be talking to another person going, well, you know, so-and-so, he has, you know, this kind of energy, you know, and like, you know, he acts like a gladiator, because I would see him, the person, in like this gladiator outfit, or, you know, this one guy that I knew, every time I looked at him, I would see him in like a raccoon coat with one of those flags from like the 20s.
No, great.
You know, and he was a real like yuppie kind of rah-rah kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I would describe them.
Hmm.
But I didn't realize that that was past life stuff. And regular people didn't do that.
Did you get any flack from regular people? You know, the wonderful regular person, who they are, whoever they are?
People thought I was a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought I
was
weird.
Which is true, right?
Huh?
Which is true, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not a pagan. And so in the more technical definition of witchcraft, I'm definitely not a witch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in the 70s. That was pretty much the only word you could put there, you know, because, you know, people weren't really psychic then in the 70s.
Yeah,
ESP,
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, so there wasn't really the vocabulary to put with people that knew stuff.
Well, I know you've been a witch, though. I mean, I can see that.
Well, yeah, but
yeah.
Not this lifetime.
No.
Although my laugh does give me away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. I love it. Well, so you're really having fun with this. Now, how did you get, talk about, I don't know where to go because you have so many things you do here, and it's really wonderful. How did you get involved in doing your own radio show?
You know, it's one of them spirit things. I had been toying around with the idea, and what most people usually don't believe when I tell them is that I used to be, like, extremely shy, And so the idea of doing a radio show was like, that ain't happening. Even though my communication skills have definitely improved, as you can probably tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I was kind of playing around with the idea, and then it was like the middle of October, and Spirit said, it's time for the radio show, and you need to start it in January. So chop, chop, and like put up a web page, find guests, figure out where the money's going to come from, and, you know, you got 2 months. I'm like, okay. And it happened.
Wow.
And it's
when did you start it?
It was a year ago in January.
Hmm.
And it has, I have been blessed.
It's really been
blessed
fun.
Mm-hmm. With the whole thing.
Great. So you're being moved, would you say you're being moved into position by Spirit?
Spirit's always positioning me. For one, I'm not quite sure. You know, I wish they'd show me the game plan, but...
I don't know if there is one besides consciousness, do you think?
This is true.
I mean, you know, I don't know if it's all about getting an Oscar or something like that. But actually, when I look at you, when did you start doing your healing work?
From a technical place, I mean, after I graduated from Berkeley, I moved to Washington and started doing, you know, working professionally, you know, because you worked while you were studying with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started my practice. It was in 1993.
Hmm. So, but didn't we talk about how you were in the service, the armed forces?
I was never in the armed forces. Oh. I used to work for military companies.
Oh, okay.
You know, making bomb parts and tanks.
Well, so you were in the disarmed forces, right?
Hey, they paid, you know?
I know. It's just funny to imagine you being in such a place, but it's kind of interesting, too, isn't it?
Because
consciousness
is
everywhere. Hmm?
It was a very interesting place, you know, because I'm, like, so not a Republican,
mm-hmm.
and they are, you know, very Republican. And so, you know, just kind of with my personality, when I worked at this one place that made armored personnel vehicles, which are kind of like tanks but not,
mm-hmm.
I had this picture. It was a postcard of Ronald Reagan. So if you walked by my cubicle, you would just see this picture of Ronald Reagan hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so people thought, oh, I like Ronald Reagan, but I didn't. It was just a ploy.
I thought you had a caption underneath it or something.
No, but somebody did give me another postcard of, like, Ronald Reagan with somebody else because they thought I really was into it. I'm like,
oh, that's a lie. Well, then you started, when you went into Washington, you went in as a healer?
I worked there for a while, but then I let go. Well, I stopped working doing, like, real work and started doing my work. Or other people's work.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped doing other people's work.
Oh, good.
And started doing my work. And, you know, I've always joked around. It's like, you know you're doing your passion when it's okay to work for a penny an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're just going to do it.
Been there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't bother you because it's like you're getting so much satisfaction and so much joy out of doing what you're doing.
Right.
That the money doesn't matter.
Right. Except when you can't pay your rent, but...
Well, you know, that's never really been a problem.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know?
So tell me this. Of course, I believe you're into creating a reality, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is it? And this is something we were talking about on the last show. Is what do you think gets in the way of people's manifestations when their manifestations aren't panning out?
I mean, there's a couple of different things. I mean, mine, you know, if they're not panning out, it's usually because I'm personally self-sabotaging it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and bringing in doubt. And even though it might start with a clear picture, it starts to fade and erode over time because my personal doubt gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my thing. You know, what I've seen with a number of my clients and people that I've worked with is that sometimes they're just not really clear about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once they can create clarity around the topic, then things will start shifting for them.
That's the kind of work you do, is it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, helping people to identify where they're at, you know, and, you know, what's going on in their lives. As you know, especially I do a lot of work with people on health levels,
mm-hmm.
you know, and helping them to identify what the discordant belief is or the trapped emotion that's keeping them locked in disease,
mm-hmm.
you know, or for manifesting. I mean, because there's always some belief that's sitting in there
mm-hmm.
that's kind of creating ruckus in the rest of their energy system, whether it's their ability to manifest or their ability to maintain health.
So you think the ability to manifest is limited by our self-sabotaging?
I think so. I mean, I think for some people there are, you know, mechanical issues. Like I had a girlfriend who I ended up putting in the book who, you know, when we were talking about relationships, and so I said, well, what do you want in a relationship? She was like, breathing's good.
Breathing?
Breathing.
Oh, I thought you meant babies.
No. Breathing, like. And I'm like, anything else? And she was like, no, that's good. And, you know, and it just happened that basically all of the relationships that she attracted to her were, like, really crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, we need to work on this. And so we kind of went through this whole want to have, don't want to have, and I helped her get real clear about what she wanted and, you know, put the emotion into it and said, you know, well, if you're walking down the street and he's holding your hand, how does that feel? And feel that feeling in your body.
Hmm.
2 weeks later, new boyfriend, great guy.
Oh, really? Great. And
yeah.
It lasted.
A couple of years. It didn't last forever, but it was like a definite improvement over what she had been getting for the past 5. You know, it gave her the opportunity to see what it felt like to be in a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and that she could actually raise her visualizations and her manifestations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and so talk about some things like, let's see, cancer or healing. What sort of physical things do you work with people?
I mean, pretty much anything that people come through the door with,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And you have an office and so on.
I have an office.
Mm-hmm.
What people come to, or where I best serve people, this is a better way to phrase it, the way I best serve people is to help them understand why they get sick.
Okay.
You know, or what's wrong with them. I have a lot of people that go to doctors and they get 3 different diagnoses from 3 different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, well, you know, it could be this, it could be this, or it could be this. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, or maybe this one. Let me kind of look at that here in a second, but this one definitely not, you know. And then to help them work through it, I mean, I definitely work much more with energy medicine
mm-hmm.
and the emotional aspects of an illness as opposed to with supplementation. You know, even though I believe that there is a place for it, and I do put some clients on supplements to help restore the body, but that's not my main approach.
So when you use energy medicine, do you include flower essences and that sort of thing?
Flower essences, I mean, I work with people on a table, and, you know, I'm going to say in a Reiki-like way because it's not Reiki in its truest sense.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with some people, I'll work in a chair and face them and just work on clearing their body. It's just a different. When you work, or this is my observation, when I work with somebody on a table,
mm-hmm.
it's like I can get deeper into the physical aspects or the energetic aspects, but I can't read it because I'm sitting in their auric field. And so I might get some feelings and impressions, but it's not
as clear.
Deep. But if they're sitting in the chair, I can do clearing. I feel it's a little coarser, but I can provide back a lot more information. And sometimes people just aren't aware of where they're stuck.
Right.
You know, and by giving them that little heads up, it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, and they'll carefully resist things that'll bring them down, like an awareness of what they hide in there. They'll resist it quite hard at times.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about, for example, cancer and chronic fatigue? Do you have anything to say about those things?
I mean, cancer, you know, I believe that there's always a belief that sits underneath it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's usually like something festering in the body if I kind of give it like a Louise Hayism kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chronic fatigue, I think, is very interesting. I have definitely much more to say about that as a disorder. Chronic fatigue, to me, is the disease of giving.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
What I have seen in people that have chronic fatigue is that they will give the last piece of bread off the table even though they're hungry.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so working with those people, it's about what do I need? What do I want? How do I take care of myself? And so there are a number of different methodologies out there as far as how do you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are the most successful is they pick one and they stick with it.
Mm.
You know, and so if it says at 3 o'clock you need to take these four pills, they will stop at 3 o'clock regardless of what they're doing and take those pills. You know, and if it says, you know, you should only work, you know, for 4 hours and then take a break, they'll work for 4 hours and take a break. But there's a very consciousness about, I need to do this for me. And once people get that mentality about, I have to take care of me,
mm-hmm.
the chronic fatigue or the fibromyalgia will usually go away.
Wonderful. Hmm. What do you think of the immune deficiencies going on all over the world right now?
I mean, I haven't really heard a whole lot about that. I mean, there is so much stress going on the planet. You know, the foods we eat aren't good. I mean, there's just so much that I could see would go into that, you know, as an issue.
Right.
But I'm not up on that piece of information.
And I'm just going through a whole bunch of things because it's sort of fun to find different perspectives from different healers, right? And so you use guided imagery a lot, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that work? You're a hypnotherapist?
I mean, I studied hypnotherapy, but I do not utilize the tools in a traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm intuitive and have the ability to look in people's bodies, I will take people through a healing process, you know, and basically, see, you'll appreciate this. People call up and ask me questions. They don't appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and spirit will say, okay, now go have them do this, and have them do this, and then have them do this. Oh, well, wait, and this. So as an example, I had a woman who had breast cancer and had surgery done and then had reconstructive surgery done. And apparently they, like, took this muscle from under her arm and kind of moved it around her chest, and it was supporting the insert and blah, blah, blah. And there was too much tension in the muscle. And because of the too much tension, it was creating an issue with blood flow. And because there was a blood flow issue, they weren't sure if it was going to take well. And so it was a very interesting session because, like I said, spirit just says, okay, do this. And the imagery was, have her imagine that she can unhook this flap of skin as if it's like the back of her bra.
Oh.
And have her unflap it or unhook it. And then they had her go through this whole process of massaging and kneading the tissue. And then they had her go and, like, take a Roto-Rooter, except it wasn't a Roto-Rooter. It was something to go in and open up the blood vessels to improve the blood flow going through the blood vessels through that tissue. And we went through this whole process, and then she rehooked it back. And she noticed, she was like, my boob is hot. You know, and she was just sitting in the chair. I mean, it wasn't like she was touching her breast or anything.
Hmm.
So
she was actually working with the energy, redesigning it, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And did she heal totally?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Tell me about also, what is your institute? What do people learn, and what's the goal there?
Okay.
What's Spirit's goal in your institute?
I mean, the school is called the Institute of Applied Energetics,
mm-hmm.
and it teaches people, you know, with absolutely no background and understanding. It starts you at ground zero or, you know, at a minimal understanding, and takes you through five different levels of training, starting with learning about yourself and how subtle energy works in your body, all the way through how to do medical intuition evaluations.
Hmm.
And, you know, and each module kind of builds on the next. And so, like, in the first module, as an example, you learn how to work with your own energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does energy feel like when you ground your body? what does your aura feel like if you expand it out? What does it feel like if you bring it in? You know, let's play around with your energy and learn how to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once people understand what their body feels like, it's really not a big leap to take it and say, okay, now that you know what it feels like in yourself, now we're going to apply the exact same principles in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, and then from the second module, it takes principles that we learned in the first and the second module, and we kind of shift it again to add yet another piece of the pie. You know, and so it just kind of leads you. See, this is where that military background,
right.
You know, mil-spec background, because they were very procedural, you know. There's 3.1.2.4A, you know. And so, you know, the way that it's even though there's a lot of free flow to it, it's very pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
How long is the course? I mean, if I wanted to be, I mean, I am a medical intuitive, but I mean, if I wanted to take it, your course, how many?
If you work the program, it can take between 2 to 3 years.
Hmm. And it's a mentoring program, which you do it online or what?
The program is distance learning, and mm-hmm. so you receive all of your training materials in the mail, which includes books, CDs, the training manual, everything that you need short of like Xerox copies, you know, some postage. I mean, the cost once you pay the price, you know, for the training is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And then every month there is a teleconference. You know, where people, you know, the students can call in, ask questions. You know, there's usually discussion about some topic, you know, during the teleconference and some sharing between what's going on and stuff like that. So it's just really been wonderful that way.
Sounds like fun, actually.
It is.
Yeah. And yet people all over the world doing it?
I have to think about that. I mean, most of the people are in the U.S., but I have a couple of people in Canada and actually a woman in South Africa.
Oh, great. Oh,
I
love it.
That was pretty cool.
I love that global thing, you know. You
uh-huh.
don't have anybody from Mars or Venus or anything.
Well, you know, they don't speak English, so I don't know. They might have a hard time with the program.
But you just do vibration, don't you?
Hold the paper under your bed and, you know, you'll get it.
Yeah. Well, Edgar Cayce apparently used to sleep on books. That's how he learned.
Well, you know, I've heard that. I haven't had that happen to me.
Not yet,
yes.
But boy, oh boy, maybe we can just do that, immerse ourselves in the vibrations of the words. And we were talking, I want to ask you things about evolution. Where do you think that the evolution or conscious evolution is going on the planet here? And what do you think about the election? Speaking of conscious evolution.
Well, you know, I think the election is going to be very interesting. Actually, you know, I was watching a little bit of CNN. Because, you know, today was the Florida primary,
mm-hmm.
and I guess Hillary is in the lead for the Democrats, and there's a race going on between two of those people.
Obama, is it?
No, Obama's a Democrat.
Oh.
McCain and the guy that's the Mormon. I hate that sounds so politically incorrect, but... That other guy.
I don't know.
And, I mean, in this country, we really do need a change, and we don't need politics as usual, you know, because a lot of people in the world, even though in the last 7 years there has been a lot of damage to the American reputation,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to fix that, you know, because people look at the United States for leadership and guidance, you know, not necessarily military guidance, but... You know, what the next step is, where are we heading in the future? And it just kind of hurts me that we're giving that all away.
It was a promise of independent growth, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a pretty interesting time. I often see, well, you know, when I see this separation going on between the kind of the political structure and this consciousness world here. I don't quite know how to put it into concrete terms. But I see it really strongly at times. So I know that there's a great evolution going on in spite of what is apparent on the media.
You know, I had, I don't know if you know them, Sriram Ka and Kira Ra
no.
on my show. They've written a book on 2012. Very interesting book. Very interesting couple. And one of the things that they talked about, you know, because people talk about, you know, well, there are people on the spiritual growth who are creating this evolution, and then there are, like, those other people that are really stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And their commentary, which I put in my brain to kind of ponder, mm-hmm. is that even those people that we see as being stuck are being perfect because they are creating a place on the opposite pole for us to sit there and go, I don't want that.
Yeah, like Abraham talks about the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree with that. But I do think there's motion anyway.
I mean, there's definitely motion. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how these next, and I'm going to say 4 years, play themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I can only put positive energy and positive intention that, you know, things balance out and things move toward the positive, because I do feel like, you know, we have the choice to affect the future,
mm-hmm.
and we can choose to take care of our environment, start taking care of each other, get out of this power place, you know, where we have to be in charge and you're not.
Right.
And live in a place of harmony, which I feel is where that evolution is trying to take us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not going to take us there, then I feel like there is a possibility of what people think of as the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
I think it's going to take us there, and that's all I let myself think, probably. What do Kira Ka and Sri Ram Ka, what do they say about 2012? Do they speak of the frequencies moving really fast or the possibility of a clash, or how do they?
They don't really talk about the clash. They talk more about a conscious evolution,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're not talking about dimensional shifts where some people are saying, you know, our vibration is changing and we're going to move into, you know, we're not going to be on the planet anymore because we're going to be in a different dimension, and they don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
They talk more about...
We talked to Barbara Hand-Clow and also Dr. Kalaman,
mm-hmm.
about the 2012, and they were just talking about how the speed-up is so tremendous that in our consciousness, you know, focusing is sort of required because that's what's going to flow us through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the flow, it's kind of exciting to me because I think we can create and create, and we really can't spend our time looking at the polarities, at the scrunch with the opposites, you know, that resistance that comes up.
Well, and I feel like when we are in flow and listening to spirit, you know, and surrendering to the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't get the 2x4. We
right.
don't hit that resistance. We don't get our butts kicked,
right.
you know, and it's easier to move into that new place. You know, it's the resistance that creates all the challenges.
So the recommendations are very often just keeping your visions very strong, right, and being supportive as opposed to contentious all the time, huh?
Well, and being clear about who you are and what you want and following through with, you know, what's your passion? You know, who am I and how do I create that on this planet?
Right. Well, and that brings me to the next thing, which UFOs. who are we on the planet and who's observing us? And we hear a lot these days about how there are beings in spaceships and whether they're screened or, you know, whether we can see them or not, or whether they've just flown over Texas, which is where you are.
I know, and I didn't see any.
You
I'm
didn't?
Really bummed.
Oh, come on.
I didn't. They had it on the news, and I ran outside. I'm like, wait, over here.
wait for me.
Well, you know, not that I necessarily want them to pick me up, but, you know, seeing one would be kind of cool. But
well,
you know what was interesting? Like, 2 weeks later, the military came out and said, well, there was some kind of, like, military operation or something going on over the area, and it really wasn't UFOs. You know, but then any good conspiracy theorist would jump in and say, yeah, but they're just, like, covering up the fact that it really was UFOs.
Well, I believe it's UFOs, and I believe they do try to cover it up. But I'm not a big conspiracy person, but I guess I sound like it right now. Think about that.
See, I like the conspiracy part kind of better than the UFO part myself. One of the things that I really like about conspiracy theory, not that I buy into them all,
mm-hmm.
but they make you think.
Yes, they do.
They make you stop and go, well, could that be?
Yeah, and the more I used to resist it, I didn't want to think about that. But as the years go on, I keep seeing that it's pretty obvious that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious where people are mind-numbed, controlled, sent here and sent there. I want to know about the 50th anniversary of Roswell.
It was so fun. I mean, they had, I was in Roswell, New Mexico, and they had like a 4-day event. And there was everything from like, you know, UFO marathon. Well, there was some kind of a running race, which I did not participate in. And they
oh,
had
on.
Like a motorcycle thing. I mean, they had a costume contest, which had some really cool people that signed up.
Well, what was it, like a festival around the UFO?
It was a festival. It was the 60th anniversary of the crash in Roswell.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so anybody who was anybody in UFOs was there.
Great. And you said that before that you weren't really into UFOs, right?
Well, I mean, you know, they're there. I mean, I do believe in UFOs, even though they did not fly over my house.
You don't know that. They could be screened.
Well, that's
vibration
true. They could be, like, invisible.
Right.
But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I see ghosts. You would think I could, like, vibe out a UFO. You'd think.
Well, what did I hear is that it's not, well, we have to get beyond having any kind of shock response, and so, I don't know.
You know, I had this one gentleman on the show named Jim Sparks, who was an abductee.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read his book?
No, I haven't, but I was on a show with Jackie Salvitti where we talked to him.
You know, and his point, or one of the points that he makes, was that we need to forgive the government so that they will be able to disclose information about UFOs and other information that they're withholding.
And there is a move to do an amnesty, isn't there?
Not that I've heard of.
I think there is maybe a movement going on to try to bring that to fruition so that that could happen without any recriminations.
And I think that that would be really cool. And, you know, I was talking to this one guy who's a big conspiracy guy, and I brought up that point. It's like, well, you know, could we forgive the government, you know? And he was like, oh, no, no. And I'm like, but, you know, that would be the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, it's like stepping out of a place in time and becoming more expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because maybe we'll actually find out what happened to JFK.
Oh, I mean, you might be jumping ahead too fast. I would love you to tell the story about how you went to the Roswell reunion.
Well,
not reunion, celebration.
Well, you mean about my little hat?
Yeah, about your little
okay.
hat.
So on the show, I had joked around for a few weeks, you know, or talked about going to Roswell, and I would tell my listeners, well, don't worry, I'm going to have my tinfoil hat. You know, they won't be getting my brainwaves, you know, because that's what the tinfoil hat's supposed to do, is protect your brainwaves. You know, for them, like, reading your mind or, you know, getting your brain.
Did it go to really work?
Well, actually, someone after Roswell sent me an article, which I don't know if it was true, but they, like, measured the frequency of people's brainwaves with tinfoil hats and not tinfoil hats when they were doing something. And it actually was worse with the tinfoil hat. And so they were like, see, it's, you know, they just want you to wear the tinfoil hats because, you know, it's going to get your brainwaves more.
Either that or it's a conspiracy thing.
That's right. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But
so were you confused after it all?
I didn't care, you know. So I went to Roswell with my Albertson brand heavy-duty tinfoil roll that I bought special, the extra large size. And
that's because you're brilliant, right? You had to have a big hat.
And so, you know, it was the morning of the first day of the expo, and I was helping this really good friend of mine, Jerry Pippin, in his booth. And so I go down, and I have this nice suit on, you know what I mean? I'm, like, in my show clothes, you know, and ready to work with my tinfoil hat, with the little piece thing, you know, like, so if people saw signs, that movie, you know, it had that little, point thing sticking out the back with my little point. And the UFO people, like the regular UFO people, were not happy about my little tinfoil hat.
Really?
Like, because I guess they see it as kind of like denigrating the topic and whatever, you know. But I had more people come by and take my picture of me and my little $1.67 tinfoil hat. So I was like, I'm not taking that off.
Did you give them autographs and so on?
Well, I had people autograph my hat. I did sell a few tinfoil hats.
Great.
So that was pretty good.
That's great.
You know, and it just became a topic of conversation. I mean, this one family came in. There were like five kids and two parents, and they all had tinfoil hats on. So there are these pictures floating around somewhere of like me with this family of people in tinfoil hats.
Did they have their hats on because of you, or did they just happen to come with
them? No, they just came with their tinfoil hats. I thought everybody would have tinfoil hats.
Oh, that's the right.
You know, well, actually, it's like I knew at the festival that they had a costume contest. You know, that's just part of the tradition that they have an alien contest, you know, because this festival has been going on for years.
And so people dress as aliens as they perceive aliens?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I assumed that there would be people walking around this event in costume, you know, or a number of people. I mean, I don't know if you go to many metaphysical events. I mean, especially in the 80s, there would always be, like, some people walking around in something, you know. And so I just figured there would be people in costume, you know, kind of like a Star Trek convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, the only person with a tinfoil hat, and I was, like, the best costume there.
Otherwise, you had a business suit on.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was fun. Did you learn a lot?
I worked a lot. I learned that I really didn't know anything about UFOs
mm-hmm.
compared to some of these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people that were attending the event, not like the UFO experts, but people that were just there as patrons, they would come up and they would start talking to me and, you know, like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so's book and this report. And I just kind of shook my head like I knew what they were talking about. And I was like, really? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know what they were talking about.
So have you studied them more since you had that experience?
A little bit. You know, I've had a number of people that I met at the event come on the show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm a big reader, and so I've read their books and their material.
Hmm.
You know, just to kind of be prepared. You know, well, I mean, it's just a whole other world.
So what do you think is going to happen regarding UFOs?
As far as them appearing or as far as the government disclosing?
I believe that they're going to be easier and easier to interact with over the next while from a human being perspective. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the majority of people on the planet believe in UFOs, you know, or have enough knowledge and awareness that if a UFO landed in their front yard, you know, they might be scared,
mm-hmm.
but they would go, there's a UFO in my front yard, you know, and it wouldn't be like some weird thing.
You mean we are actually being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, yeah. I think it's kind of exciting, although I'm sure there are many sides of many types of beings, you know.
I mean, from what I understand, there's a, you know, like there's the reptilians and the grays, and they're all fighting with each other. I mean, it makes you think of like Stargate. You know, do you ever watch that show?
No.
You know, where the different aliens are all fighting with each other. And, you know, we're a neutral planet, so they can't come and fight here because, you know, we're not ready.
Apparently we were very protected, but that's being moved away right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Stargate. It's pretty interesting. Huh?
I mean, I think there are some shows that they put on TV that it makes you wonder if there's not some basis in reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Stargate or like the X-Files.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't bear the X-Files. I found them really frightening.
See, I like the conspiracy theory part.
You like that part?
And actually, when I was in Roswell, because I broadcasted live from Roswell,
mm-hmm.
from the Cover-Up Cafe in Roswell, New Mexico, and I had Dean Haglund, who was one of the supporting actors, you know, one of the main supporting actors in the show, on my show,
oh.
I was very excited because I used to be a big X-File person.
Oh, you did? Great.
And it was really fun because I was asking him these questions, and after the interview he goes, you know, I could tell that you were totally into the X-File just based on the questions.
I think I only saw one, but I don't want to go into that one. I turned it off, and that was it.
Well, I mean, some of them were just kind of creepy and ghoulish,
yeah.
You know, and then there were some that really made you think.
Okay.
You know, and actually I did ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
It took them a long time to, because there was this whole government cover-up plot underlying thing that was, you know, part of the storyline. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it took them a long time to write those episodes. Mm-hmm. And so they would put these, like, ghouly ones in there with, you know, these alien beings and whatever just to fill space until their writers could write the next episode for the conspiracy theory type.
Right.
And I was like, that's why some of them just seem kind of weird and hokey. And it's like, why are you putting this on TV?
Well, I always think the media, a lot of the media is set up to keep us numb anyway.
Well, I think TV is just set up to keep us numb.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. So tell me about your books talking about not TV. Are you going to do a TV show for starters, and then we'll go to your book?
Am I going to do a TV show? No one's asked me yet.
Well, so let's talk about your books. I like the 2x4 because I'm always saying that. I told you that's one of my prayers. Is please teach me so I don't have to have the 2x4.
another spirit-driven project. It was interesting because I decided, you know, or wanted to sign, I decided to not resist writing a book. And then it took me 6 months to get over my resistance of not writing this book. And because I was, you know, I got some books on writing, you know, how do you write a more technical book?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, well, you know, you make this outline and you put it on cards and you do this. And I tried all of this stuff and got nowhere. I mean, I just had like stacks of cards and outlines and I didn't get anywhere. So I kind of put all that aside and just said, you know, you really know about chakras and you don't have to do a lot of research and you know, it'll just flow. So just like start with the first chakra and just start writing. And once I started writing, the whole book just kind of happened.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so the book is about, and this is kind of in the really big picture, why we get sick from an energetic perspective.
Oh, good.
And it talks about why we get sick with the understanding that disease is the indication that there has been an energetic imbalance in our space, either a belief or an emotion, that has been there for so long that it has broken through into the physical.
Hmm.
And it is the ultimate wake-up call. You know, so someone says, you have cancer. That is kind of like the ultimate wake-up call. It's like, well, I either need to deal with that now or die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, and it looks at it from a chakra perspective as well as a Kabbalistic perspective and talks about the process. You know, a lot of people say, well, when there's an imbalance in your energy, you know, that's what manifests disease. But they don't really explain how that works,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what that process is and how the energy gets inhibited so that there's not enough energy in the body so that the body manifests disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's one major
piece. Like the body sort of panics about. And starts sending cells all over the place, yeah?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, in a nutshell, it's like if we have a negative belief, so if I have the belief that I'm shy, you know, or people aren't interested in what I have to say, then I'm holding back my communication based on that belief.
Right.
Okay, so if something happens to me in my life and I need to communicate to this person that I'm hurt or there's something going on, it's like I'm not because I have this belief. And so now I'm experiencing this emotional energy, but I'm not able to resolve it, so I end up holding on to that.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, time after time, you know, situation after situation, it's like that core belief becomes bigger and bigger, and it manifests into your emotional space and into your behaviors until finally it will manifest in the physical body if
right.
it's not addressed.
Mm. And so you address it in your healing work and in your book. What's your book called? It's
Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4.
Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4 by Dr. Rita Louise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people can buy it off your website, I bet, eh?
They can buy it off my website or Amazon.com, or, you know, if they talk really nice to the people at the bookstore, they can order it.
Now, what's the second book? Is the second book the most current one?
No, that's a much, much older book.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Power Within,
okay.
And it is a book of how to develop your intuitive abilities using healing as a modality.
Hmm.
You know, it is... And I like to explain it to people. It's like the Cosmic 2x4 is definitely more the meat book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the brain food. You know, if you want to read a book, and get information, excuse me, that's the book. Okay. You know, if you want to find out how to work with it and how to make changes in your life, it's the other book, because it's just loaded with exercises and things that you can do to heal yourself or heal other people. You know, so again, a bit pragmatic.
Pragmatism's not always bad.
It's good because, you know, for me, I end up just being very clear. You know, it's this, then this, then this, then this. See? Simple.
So, and do you travel and stuff? I mean, where do you go? Do you go and talk somewhere? Do you?
I used to travel quite a bit, and I really have kind of cut that back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to do a lot of trade shows, you know, and they have really died.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that going on.
You know, and so, I mean, because there used to be like Whole Life Expo and Edge Life. You know, a New Life Expo, and, you know, they were big events that would attract a lot of people around the country. And I would go and do those events or other ones that, you know, were bigger events.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't that many of those happening anymore. And so I've just really kind of called it back in, and that might be one of the reasons why I ended up doing the radio show, was just to have that platform.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful platform. It's a great way to explore, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And share and give people a lift, you know?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a little unsure when I first started, but I just, you know, I feel like I can give so much, but I also feel like I get a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's a definite win-win thing.
Well, I think that the paradigm we're moving into is one where, as we do our work, we grow and learn. So it's a cycle that goes out there, isn't it? Everything is around and around in a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always that way. Yeah. And do you have children?
I have a dog.
You have a dog.
I have 2 stepkids.
Oh, great.
And a dog.
Do any of them do healing?
Not that they would ever admit.
Well,
I mean, one is very clairvoyant,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is very clairsentient.
And how old are they? Are they children?
19 and 21.
Ah. So
they don't live with me anymore. Yay.
They what?
They don't live with me anymore. Yay.
That's a lot of work, isn't it, teenagers?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's always interesting if healers have healer children. That's kind of an interesting thought.
Well, I mean, you know, when I first married their dad, you know, they just thought it was the coolest thing, because it was just about the time they started getting, like, access to the Internet
mm-hmm.
at school.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my mom's webpage. She's a psychic.
and
I live in Texas, you know, so it's like, okay, they're just going to be, like, sending you home with little pieces of wood to burn me or something, you know.
So Texas is a little reluctant with the psychic thing?
It's part of the Bible Belt.
Right, still. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so even though, you know, there are definite pockets, it's something that I choose my wording accordingly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have anything to say about, we're talking about children, and I did hear that, that was really important. But, talking about children, what do you have to say about the way children are coming in these days? Do you know anything about crystal and indigo and sensitivities in children and evolutionary children? Or what's your take on it?
I mean, I do believe that that's happening, but I'm going to have a totally different commentary, because this has been my observation in watching my stepkids grow up,
mm-hmm.
is that parents need to kind of rule the roost and not let the kids rule the roost, because what I have seen children doing is getting through high school and not being willing to put any energy into anything,
mm-hmm.
and they just have their hands out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's scary, you know, because they're not really trained how to take care of themselves and how to deal with consequences.
Why do you think it turned that way?
Well, I think, you know, parents, you know, there's that whole, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, and it kind of went the whole other way around. And I'm not saying that corporal punishment is appropriate,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times parents will, as an example, one of the kid's friends stole his mother's car.
Mm-hmm.
And what punishment did he get? I mean, 15 years old, no driver's license, took the mother's car.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? The father said, oh, well, if you wanted your driver's license, you should have told me. That was the repercussion of, you know, getting caught in a car that didn't belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, it's not teaching right values.
Right.
You know, and I think regardless of the age and regardless of the time, you know, they need to have good and positive values too, and to be able to respect their property, to respect other people's property, you know, and not just think that someone's going to go and buy you a new MP3 player because you decided to throw yours on the floor and then kick it.
Right.
You know, and it's just...
I guess we were taught that you can't abuse children, you know.
But there is,
but I think that's
one
where...
thing about, there's a line between abusing them. And, yeah, I could see where that can be, at times, a very thin line.
Yeah.
And being clear and having boundaries and expectations and consequences.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. And so, for example, if somebody has what they call a crystal child, they still have to be disciplined or else they become impossible, right?
Any child.
Yeah.
Any child. And well, actually, sometimes with those more, because it's like they know so much anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's a really interesting time. I'm going to have somebody on soon to talk about children in a more detailed fashion, because there's a lot of people seeking some answers, like, what's up with these kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably it's always been, I think in Aristotle's day they were saying that, but I don't think they had radio shows about it.
No, probably not. They just stood by the watering hole, or, you know, the well, and
the guys with the big colorful tunics or something were the problem.
That's right.
Anyway, can you tell people your website and the name of your radio show and the name of your books again? And
sure.
I thank you so much for being here.
My main website is www.soulhealer.com. You can find the radio show off of that site, which is Just Energy Radio, or you can go directly to that site, which is justenergyradio.com. And then my two books are Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4 and The Power Within.
Excellent. Well, I'll be eager to read those because I'm really interested in Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4. Thank you so much, Dr. Rita. I really enjoyed chatting with you. I feel like we just had a great cup of tea and we're learning a lot from each other. So,
wonderful.
Or me from you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's wonderful. So I'll listen to your radio show at some point.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a wonderful experience of somebody else's approach to the intuitive. I learned a lot from her. And this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm going to be on Jackie Salvitti's show on Thursday night, and we're going to be talking, I believe we're talking more about all the work we've done on the shadow and how this is a time of miraculous changes when things seem really impossible. She's going to move from the shadow into kind of a more exciting and miraculous change. So that's really going to be interesting to hear and see. And next week, you know what? I never remember who's going to be on my show. So if you'd like to hear from me on my little flyer to tell you who's coming up on the show, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. That's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. I'd love to do a session for you. I do lots of healing work, see into you, move energy, help you free yourself to be who you really are, which I believe is what the paradigm shift is all about, as we move into a collective made of a lot of very unique individuals expressing their true nature and not that which has been absorbed from the mass consciousness. I don't think that we need to be so competitive, and I think we'll be a whole lot more creative. And that's the end of this week's show, and I've so enjoyed myself on both Radiance and with Dr. Rita on Paradigm Shifters. Much love to all of you, and we'll see you either Thursday night or Thursday night and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for Radiance by Design, 5 for Paradigm Shifters. Many blessings.
Hi, this is Marco May. Wherever you are, whoever you are, take care, because you deserve the best.